when I did my interview with Chris Burnett last week, he said that the hijacker story couldn't possibly true, because a few Arabs in a desert and a guy in a cave could never have pulled off the horrible events that happened on September 11th. Now, I don't think that this was intended by Chris, but I think that the idea that a guy in a cave and that a bunch of Arabs in a desert couldn't have done this is sort of a racist thought, right? I mean, Arabs can do anything Americans can do. Like an airliner full of jet fuel is a very destructive flying car bomb. What they did on September 11th wasn't that different from what seems to happen almost every bloody day in Iraq and in Jerusalem and throughout the Mideast, these car bombs and stuff. To say it's impossible for these people is begging the question, I guess. So let's run down a timeline here. 1957, so he's younger than me. Osama bin Muhammad bin Awad bin Laden is born in Riyadh. He is the 17th of 52 children sired by Muhammad bin Laden, Saudi Arabia's wealthiest construction magnate. In 1979, bin Laden graduates from the King Abdul Aziz University in Jeddah with a degree in civil engineering. 1986 to 1989, according to Islamic sources, bin Laden participates in numerous battles during the Afghan War against the Soviets as a guerrilla commander, including the fierce battle of Jalalabad, which led the Soviets to finally withdraw from Afghanistan. Bin Laden was not trained by the CIA. And there really is no evidence that bin Laden and Bush signed the same document forming Arbusto Oil Company. There's no real evidence of that. In 1992, according to the current indictment against bin Laden, from 1992 on, bin Laden and other al-Qaeda members stated privately within the organization that A, al-Qaeda should put aside its differences with Shiite Muslim terrorist organizations, including Iran and its affiliated terrorist group Hezbollah, to cooperate against the perceived common enemy, the United States and its allies. And B, the U.S. forces stationed on the Saudi Peninsula, including both Saudi Arabia and Yemen, should be attacked. And C, the U.S. forces stationed in the Horn of Africa, including Somalia, should be attacked. In 1992, he said we should attack. December 29, 1992, a bomb explodes in a hotel in Aden, Yemen, where U.S. troops had been staying while en route to a humanitarian mission in Somalia. The bomb killed two Austrian tourists. The U.S. soldiers had already left. Two Yemen Muslim militants trained in Afghanistan and injured in the past are later arrested for this bombing. U.S. intelligence agencies allege that this was the first terrorist attack involving bin Laden and his associates. 1993, Sudan is placed on the State Department's list of countries that sponsor terrorist activities, which is why later, when he was living in Sudan and Sudan was trying to give us bin Laden, we were not negotiating with terrorists, so we didn't deal with it. According to the U.S. government charges, bin Laden's followers try to obtain components of nuclear weapons and begin to work with Sudan's NIF to develop chemical arms. That was reported in the U.S. News and World Report in 98. February 26, 93, the World Trade Center bombing in New York City. October 3 and 4, 93, 18 U.S. troops are killed in an urban attack in Mogadishu, Somalia. American law enforcement, intelligence, and national security officials are divided as to whether, as a federal indictment charges bin Laden and his adherents, helped train and arm the men who killed the U.S. troops. February-March 95, Ramzi Youssef, mastermind of the World Trade Center bombing, is captured in Pakistan and extradited to the United States. A search of his former residences leads investigators to believe he is financially linked to bin Laden. Also, he had stayed at a bin Laden-financed guest house while in Pakistan. June 1995, unsuccessful assassination attempt on the life of President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, in Addis Ababa. U.S. intelligence sources believed bin Laden was somehow linked to that. August 1995, bin Laden wrote an open letter to King Fahd of Saudi Arabia calling for a campaign of guerrilla attacks in order to drive U.S. forces out of the kingdom. Again, bin Laden was deeply impressed when the U.S. was in Beirut, Lebanon, and in 1983, a bomb blew up a Marine barracks, killing 270 Marines, and shortly afterwards, the Americans pulled out of Lebanon. Bin Laden saw that terrorism could affect American activities. November 13th, 1995, five Americans and two Indians are killed in the truck bombing of a U.S.-operated Saudi National Guard training center in Riyadh. Bin Laden denies involvement but praises the attack. That was in the Washington Post. May 1996, the Sudan expels bin Laden because of international pressure by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. Bin Laden then moves back to Afghanistan. May 31, 1996, the four Saudi men accused of bombing the Saudi National Guard Training Center in Riyadh are beheaded in Riyadh's main square. Before their execution, they are coerced by the Saudis into a public confession. In the confession, they claim to have read bin Laden's communiques. Spring 1996, President Clinton signed a top-secret order that authorized the CIA to use any and all means to destroy bin Laden's network. June 25, 1996, a large truck bomb devastates the U.S. military residence in Dhahran called Khobar Towers, killing 19 servicemen. The U.S. military initially linked bin Laden to the attack, but now believe a Saudi Shiite group was responsible. U.S. investigators still believe that bin Laden was involved in that attack. August 23, 1996, bin Laden signed and issued a declaration of jihad outlining his organization's goals: drive U.S. forces from the Arabian Peninsula, overthrow the government of Saudi Arabia, liberate Muslim holy sites, and support Islamic revolutionary groups around the world. He declares that the Saudis have the right to strike at U.S. troops in the Persian Gulf. November 1996, Gwynne Roberts conducts interview of bin Laden for the British documentary program Dispatches. Bin Laden threatens to wage an Islamic holy war against the United States and its allies if Washington does not remove its troops from the Gulf region. May 1997, CNN airs an interview with bin Laden in which he criticizes U.S. occupation of the land of the holy places. July 1997, according to Islamic sources, a U.S.-backed multinational mercenary force is formed with the aim of abducting or killing bin Laden. Witnesses claim to see 11 black land cruisers crossing into the Afghan city of Khost, with two helicopters. A source said the force was composed of 1,000 non-U.S. mercenaries. February 1998, bin Laden issues joint declaration with the Islamic group Al-Jihad, the Jihad movement in Bangladesh, and the Jamaat-ul-Ulema-e-Pakistan under the banner of the World Islamic Front, which stated that Muslims should kill Americans, including civilians, anywhere in the world. May 1998, ABC's John Miller interviews bin Laden in Afghanistan. June 1998, a raid is conducted in Albania against a cell of an Islamic terrorist movement by security personnel from the U.S. and Albania. Two suspected employees of bin Laden are arrested. The CIA takes custody of a vanload of documents and computer gear. 2 weeks later, another raid was conducted and two more suspected bin Laden associates arrested. They were Egyptian nationals and were turned over to anti-terrorist officials in Egypt. All were associated with the Islamic Revival Foundation. The source of that is the Washington Post in 98. June 8, 1998, the grand jury investigation of bin Laden, initiated in 96, issues a sealed indictment charging bin Laden with conspiracy to attack defense utilities of the United States. Prosecutors charge that bin Laden heads a terrorist organization called Al-Qaeda, the base, and was a major financier of Islamic terrorists around the world. August 6, 1998, the Egyptian Jihad group sent the United States a warning. They would soon deliver a message to Americans, which we hope they read with care, because we will write it, with God's help, in a language they will understand. That was in the New York Times, August 21, 1998. Two simultaneous explosions at U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The bomb in Nairobi, Kenya, kills 213 people, including 12 U.S. nationals, and injures more than 4,500. The bomb in Dar es Salaam kills 11 and injures 85. No Americans died in the Tanzania bombing. August 12, 1998. The small group of presidential advisors meet with Clinton, reportedly with evidence that bin Laden is looking to obtain weapons of mass destruction and chemical weapons to use against U.S. installations. U.S. intelligence also reportedly intercepted a mobile phone conversation between two of bin Laden's lieutenants that implicated them in the embassy bombings. August 20, 1998, U.S. retaliation against bin Laden. Cruise missiles attack a suspected terrorist training camps in Afghanistan and Al-Shifa, a pharmaceutical plant in Khartoum. U.S. intelligence claims that Al-Shifa is tied to the production of chemical weapons for bin Laden. The Sudanese government vehemently denied these claims. U.S. adds bin Laden's name to list of terrorists whose funds are targeted for seizure by U.S. Treasury in order to shut down the financial pipelines that allegedly subsidized bin Laden's terrorist activities. Washington Post, August 28, 1998. September 23, 1998. U.S. senior administrative officials admit that they had no evidence that directly linked bin Laden to the Al-Shifa factory at the time of retaliatory strikes on August 20. Intelligence officials found financial transactions between bin Laden and the Military Industrial Corporation, a company run by the Sudan's government. November 4, 1998, a new superseding indictment is issued against bin Laden, Muhammad Atef, and a host of other suspects. They are charged with bombing of two U.S. embassies and conspiring to commit other acts of terrorism against Americans abroad. Two rewards of $5 million each are offered for RF and bin Laden. RF is described as bin Laden's chief military commander. January 16, 1999, the U.S. Attorney's Office files its most complete indictment to date of Osama bin Laden and 11 other suspected members of his terrorist organization. The grand jury charges the men for conspiring to kill American nationals. The first count of the indictment charges that several of the co-defendants acted with other members of Al-Qaeda, a worldwide terrorist organization led by bin Laden, in a conspiracy to murder American citizens. The objectives of the terrorist group allegedly include killing members of the American military stationed in Saudi Arabia and Somalia, killing United States Embassy employees in Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and concealing the activities of the co-conspirators by, among other things, establishing front companies, providing false identity and travel documents, engaging in coded correspondence, and providing false information to the authorities in various countries. May 29, 2001. Four followers of Osama bin Laden are found guilty of charges stemming from the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. Mohammed Rashid Daoud Al-Awhali, Kalfan Khamis Mohammed, Mohammed Sadiq Odeh, and Wadi El-Hage are convicted of charges including murder, conspiracy, and perjury after a nine-week federal trial during which prosecutors called over 90 witnesses, including Al-Qaeda informants and survivors of the bombings. Owali and Muhammad face the death penalty at their sentencing, while Odeh and El-Hage face life in prison. In other words, the man has a history. We have a deeply documented history, including other terrorist acts and calls for jihad and calls for attacks on Americans anywhere. To state that Osama bin Laden was a creation of the CIA is not true. He was not invented by the CIA. He was not trained by the CIA. He was not funded by the CIA. Other people who associated with him definitely were. See my 9/11 timeline that I did last week. Many people around him were definitely connected to the CIA and to American interests. But as I tried to point out in that timeline, what America was doing was completely wrong. And what they did not expect, because, again, they were probably racists who thought a few Arabs in the desert could not have pulled this off, was that they were actually smarter than the Americans thought, and they learned how to turn the manipulation back around on them. They were able to get in the country, set up sleeper cells here, including one in Anaheim, and do whatever they needed to do with people coming in under the radar and with the okay of the CIA. So we were bringing in people into this country who were our enemies because they thought they were doing something else. It's really maddening. It's really utterly maddening. It's like thinking about the $53 million that was given to the Taliban in May 2001. When September 11th happened, all anybody talked about was the Taliban, the Taliban, the Taliban, the Taliban. It wasn't until much later that the words Al-Qaeda became a part of the media coverage. And I question what Al-Qaeda is anyway. That seems to be a phantom that doesn't really exist except directly tied in with bin Laden. What does all this mean? I think that bin Laden was part of a group of people that planned the attack on September 11th. I'm not afraid of these people. They're not going to kill us. I mean, they might. They're going to probably kill some more people, okay, because that's what they do. And who knows? Maybe there'll be an attack on L.A. and Kill Radio will be wiped out, and I'll get killed and all that. But it's still not going to bring down the country. But to deny that there was a bin Laden, or to deny that that these people do hate us for very good reasons. I'm not saying that there's not a reason to hate the U.S. But that's silly. And to say that they couldn't have done what happened on September 11th, that's really silly. That's denying the evidence. It wasn't a false flag operation. That's 9/11 truth buzzwords. It wasn't an inside job. Anyway, Osama bin Laden timeline. You're listening to Kill Radio, and I'm Bennett, your faithless host.